here at the 2012 World Pork Expo. With me is R.C. Hunt, president of the National Pork Producers Council. R.C., tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sydney, I'm just a farmer from Wilson, North Carolina. I've been in the pig business since I was a young boy. I've actually owned my own company now for the last 25, 26 years, and working very hard to just maintain our business operation back home. And I've had the fortunate pleasure to be part of the leadership team of National Pork Producers, and I'm just absolutely honored that I've been elected as their president of the National Pork Group.
Well, here at World Pork Expo this year, what do you think about the turnout so far?
You know, believe it or not, this is under my watch, and we've had beautiful weather so far, great participation. I think the data shows that we're expecting over 20,000 guests. We have over 400 company and organization exhibiting, and probably something that gets overlooked, I think, was 750 youth participating in some of the livestock shows, which it's an old forgotten tradition, so to speak. But overall, with the people, I think one of the we had representatives from 38 or 40 countries representing here. So this is a place to be, and so far we've been very excited.
And the weather has been great. It's wonderful. Thank you very much for ordering that weather for us. Well, now, one of the things that you're facing here under your watch is some attacks on the pork industry. Most recently, we've seen some McDonald's and some companies like that saying that they want to phase out their pork supply from producers who use gestation stalls. And you had a survey come out this week from done by Ron Plain that shows that really, you know, it's a very very large number of producers who use gestation stalls, and this may be very, very difficult to do. Tell me what you think personally for yourself and for the industry, what this kind of action can mean.
Cindy, first off, as a producer, I have been involved from growing pigs from being outside to concrete to confinement into what we do today is both group housing as well as individual housing. Mm-hmm. So from a producer perspective, I have had a career and observed and watched that industry evolved. You know, we didn't wake up just one morning and build a gestation with individual housing. It evolved over a 30, 40, 50-year period of time through the observation of the farmer as well as the observation and the contentness of the animal. So first off, from a farmer perspective, I really do enjoy the existing housing that we have. As you start talking about the announcements from some of the organizations, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, these guys, they're customers of ours. Mm-hmm. And anytime a customer comes to you and makes a request, I think you're somewhat obligated to assist that process. Unfortunately, the organizations, I think, have made some premature decisions without, you know, talking to the farmer. You know, does the farmer want to change? Is the farmer going to change? Can he change? And so I think it's, you know, a situation where some maybe uninformed information. And then once one company starts, the process just keeps on going. My concern is if you look at the analysis of Ron Plain's data, he's talking about only today maybe 17% of the herd is in group housing versus individual housing. It will take a lifetime to make that conversion. And so there could be a situation where some of the organizations make commitments that they may be obligated to fulfill and may have some significant challenges in trying to get that done.
Well, and the difficulty too here when you have people or groups looking at animals as if they're humans and how they would feel in certain situations, you have to look at what's best for the animal.
Yeah, and once again, as I shared my story about growing up and going through the evolution of this, I know for a fact that my animal is more content, she is more productive, she is less stressed, and she has a longer longevity of life in the individual housing compared to other traditional methods. And that's just from my perspective. But you're right. Boy, we always sit down and we try to observe what we can do and how we can do it better. And I think if, you know, if we can keep the government mandates and the government bureaucracy at telling us how to raise our pigs in the future, that will be a big plus for us, simply because the farmer will determine what is best for that animal. And over time, once again, we will be at the right spot at the right place.
You gave the outlook on trade at this point for the pork industry, and a little look back on 2011, which was very good. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, we certainly we're bragging, and we're holding our chest out pretty high right now based on 2011. And we certainly have to give credit to the producers of the pork, the processors, the exporters. The United States has produced some very high-quality product, and it's been very safe, and it's been of an amazing economic value. And so what happens is, at this point in time, we've gotten used to this, and we've gotten used to other countries wanting our product. We can't go to sleep on this. We've got to continue to even work harder, because, you know, there's a common denominator here that every country in the world wants to do everything it can to feed itself first. And so we know for a fact that many of our competing countries are doing everything they can to absorb our technology and our expertise, even hiring our people to go over and produce pigs. So and that's good. You know, at the end of the day, we talk about the economics of our industry, but at the end of the day, what we do is produce food, and that is a noble cause.
What about the trade agreements? How do you think those are going to help?
We have worked very hard on the trade agreements. You know, last year we just talked and talked and talked about the three Pacific trade agreements, South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. And with that, the reason we had to talk so much about them over the last few years is because we needed congressional help to get those implemented and passed. And now that Congress has passed those trade agreements, we're in position to help ratify and implement them. And we have already implemented two, and we're pending probably in the next few months we'll have all three in place. And at that point, that's when it counts.
And that can actually add dollars, add to the producer's bottom line.
Yes. Once these trade agreements are implemented, it's a direct relationship to bottom line, and that's going to be exciting. And if everything goes our way, and our model works out as we've calculated in our strategy, it could impact each head sold in the United States about $10 to $11.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, R.C. Hunt here at World Pork Expo in Des Moines. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.